We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to a new week here in Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you from WMIE 91.5 FM, and I today am having the time of my life. So a statement of faith there. And so we thank you for tuning in today. Without you, we would not, this would not be possible. Like I've said last week, thank you for your support of the radio station. And we also want to say thank you to the saints at Merit Assembly of God who helped make this possible, and to Creative Air Conditioning Solutions, Bill Andriak, 759-3284. If you have any air conditioning needs in the central part of the county here, you can call Bill Andriak. He's got years and years and years of experience fixing things, fixing air conditioning and heaters. And so if you have any issues, give him a call and he can fix you up. It has been a long time since I mentioned this, but if you have any prayer requests or praise reports, if you wouldn't mind sending us an email, Merritt Assembly, MERRITTASSEMBLY, at hotmail.com. We would love the opportunity to pray with you and see God work miracles on your behalf. And so if you have any praise reports or prayer requests, if you'd send those to us either at email that I just gave you, our address is 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. If you care to mail it to us, you know, you can reach us at that address. Also, like I shared on last week's broadcast, if you would like a free mug that has Merritt Assembly of God on a coffee mug and says Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs on the back of it, if you would like to be reminded to pray for this broadcast, pray for me, pray for our church every time that you have a cup of coffee, we would be happy to send one of those to you. If you'd like to help with the broadcast expenses, we would be grateful for that as well. So enough of the announcements today. I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 6. We spent last week talking about forgiveness and not only receiving forgiveness, but also being dispensers of forgiveness, believing for God to forgive even the most egregious violators of his laws. I'm telling you that no matter where you are today, that God's arm is able to reach you, to save you, protect you, to deliver you, and to lead you and guide you from this point forward. So I am thankful for the sufficiency of our God. So I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 6. In verse number 8, it says, "Therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And so that's what we were talking about last week on forgiveness. We want to not only be recipients, because we owed a debt that we could not pay, and Christ, through his sacrificial work on the cross, paid the price for us that we could be reconciled to God. As a result of that, to us has been given the ministry of reconciliation. Now, as we have been working through the Lord's Prayer, The next part is in verse number 13, and it says, "And do not lead us into temptation." And do not lead us into temptation. So, first of all, let me tell you this. God never leads you into the enemy's trap. I'll say that again. God will never lead you into the enemy's trap. And so what I want to spend the next several broadcasts doing is going over the blessings and the benefits and the process of God's direction in our life. I have a newsflash for you. God has a plan for your life. Here's another newsflash. He wants to go with you on that journey. He wants to walk with you. He wants to walk with me every step of the way. When I read the Bible and I read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, what gets me excited is when I read that Nebuchadnezzar looks in there and says, "How many people did we throw in?" They said, "Three." And he said, "Well, how come I see four guys walking around in there, and the fourth guy looks like the Son of God?" And you know, I just really love the fact that God says that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. When he leads us through the process. He journeys it with us. So I'm from cattle country. In cattle country, you drive cattle. You get behind them and you force them to go where they don't want to go necessarily. I mean, you coerce them to go in the direction that you want them to go. That's not the way that a sheep and a shepherd work. A shepherd leads his sheep. He builds a relationship with his sheep to where he knows their name. They know who he is. They recognize his voice. They will not follow another voice. But that shepherd, when they are walking, that shepherd leads them, and then the sheep just follow right along. And so this is kind of a strange concept for those of us in the Western world. Because in the Western world, we like to be self-determiners of our own fate. And I'd just like to ask, you know, at some point in time, how well does that work out for people? How well does it work out when you are the master of your own ship, so to speak? Because what I have found is that when I let God be the leader, it works out a lot better for me. When he leads and I follow and I recognize that this journey we are on is a great walk, it works out better for me. You say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're a pastor. You're a preacher. You know, God's supposed to lead pastors and preachers. Well, I want you to know that I didn't develop that mindset when I became the pastor. I developed that mindset as a teenager back in the 1970s. That's where I developed the mindset. It's like, okay, God, you lead me. You are the one, I know this, you're going to, well, we'll get into what some of the various aspects of God leading us here and as we go along this study. But I hope that you'll take notes. If you'd like a copy of my research notes, then we will be more than glad to send them to you. There's nothing proprietary about any of this that I share. Let's look first of all at Psalm 23, shall we? Psalm 23. And it says in verse number 1, a very familiar passage of Scripture, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, so first of all, here again we see that God has a way, a leadership style that is like a shepherd, not like a cattleman. Okay, now I like steak. I don't know that I've ever had mutton, but I can tell you this: God is a shepherd. I know that he's a shepherd. He also owns the cattle on a thousand hills, so I suppose you could say he's a cattleman also. But when it comes to leading, he is looking to develop a relationship with us where we trust where he leads us. We, for the past probably 4.5 to 5 decades here in America, there has been a serious trust issue when it comes to our governmental leaders. Back in the 60s, we developed a rebellious mindset because of the human shortcomings of our leaders. We, you know, quite honestly, we got tired of being lied to. And there ended up being this massive uprising that took place. And then there was a complete distrust of rebellion. Does anybody remember when they said, don't trust anybody over 30? Well, 30 is a long way in my rearview mirror now. Some of my kids, you know, are getting really close to that point where you say, you know what, we don't trust you anymore. Well, why? Because you're old. You're old. Well, there was a culture of corruption. By the way, at our church, and there are businesses who we have ceased dealing with if we felt like after dealing with them that there was a culture of corruption. We don't like to deal with people that we can't trust. And sometimes those people have been Christians. Let me tell you, if you are a Christian, you need to be a person of financial integrity. You need to be a person of financial integrity. When I was a management in a retail store down in Melbourne, I had to go into a business. It was a business that was not run by a Christian, and they had not a wall of fame. They had a wall of shame. And on their wall of shame, they had all of the checks, excuse me, all of the checks that Christians had written to them that were insufficient funds, and they did not come and repurchase those checks. In other words, they just literally stole the services. And you say, well, how do you know that they were Christians? Because these people had scripture verses up on their checks, and so this business just took them and hung them on the wall. I did not have much money. If I had had enough resources on my own, I would have paid the man and bought every one of those checks just so that I would have enhanced the name of the Lord. And that's been a long time ago. I don't know if that place is still in business, but what I do know is that those people left a bad taste in that businessman's mouth because they were saying that they were Christian with their mouth, but their finances, their financial practices weren't lining up with it. And so let's look at Psalm 23 here, and let's look at a couple of aspects today in the way that God leads us. I've talked to you that he leads us he leads us as a shepherd. Verse number 2, he makes me, by the way, let me touch on something in verse number 1. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is an old English expression. That phraseology comes directly from the King James Version of the Bible. And if you read that in a modern context, you would say, the Lord's my shepherd and I don't want him as my shepherd. But that's not what that is saying. What that is saying is, with the Lord as my shepherd, with him leading me, I am not going to have any lack in my life. That's what that I shall not want. It means that I'm not going to ever experience any lack. When I think of God's provision in heaven, where there will be no sickness, no disease, no electric bills, no debt, no temptation, no sickness, no death, no sorrow, no heartache, no pain, no misery. When I think about all that he's going to provide in heaven and realize that he is the same right now, I can come to the place where I say, God, I am not going to experience lack. Can I tell you that there was a change of mindset that I had as a pastor in 2014? Whenever you are pastoring a church, it is always a faith endeavor, always a faith endeavor. And, you know, people were saying, well, you need to have a church budget. And I said, well, we do. Whatever money comes in, then that's what we know what we can do. And, you know, I had a change of heart in that several years ago. And I said, okay, God, here's what we are believing that you are going to enable us to accomplish in this coming year. And so we finally, over the past several years, we had gotten to the place that, okay, this is what we are believing God for. And let me tell you, God has been meeting our needs for the past several years. Even in the midst of an economic downturn, we felt like the Spirit of God said, you know what, now is the time to press forward. It is not the time to draw back. And so one of our largest bills of the year comes due on the very first week of January. Every year, it's thousands of dollars. And during the entire year, we would end up swimming upstream financially, trying to reach that break-even point. Last August, we were break-even. We were actually a little bit ahead financially for about 2 hours. That was in August. And then I wrote the missions check, and we love missions, and automatically we were into our reserves, and so we swam upstream, and I give God all the praise. 2 weeks to go in 2014, we were over $10,000 short of what we needed to come in 2014, and we closed out the year $201.60 in the red. If I had had $201.60 in my bank account, my personal bank account, I would have written the check just to break even. But again, I didn't have the funds to do that. So, you know, that is how close we got. But towards the end of last year, I said, God, you are Jehovah Jireh. I believe that you can fund the provision. You can provide the finances that we need just as easily in advance as you can at the back end. And so my faith in 2015 was that God would provide us with the resources that we would need so that we're not swimming upstream. We are just walking on this journey with God. And so I give God the praise one quarter of the way through the year. And that is exactly what God has done, is he is funding the vision that we have in advance. It doesn't mean that we're getting rich. It just means that the money comes in so we can pay the radio broadcast. The money came in so we were able to pay off the building insurance. And so now we're on to where we can go ahead and proceed with the other necessities of ministry, things that line up with our vision, which is to restore value relationally and spiritually to the people in Central Brevard County. We thank God that with God as our shepherd, we are not going to suffer lack. And for you right now, I encourage you to get on God's economy. I do not believe in such a thing as a fixed income. I believe that you serve a creative God. You serve the Creator God, and he endows his people with the gift of creativity. He gives us a work ethic that will cause us to be able to excel in providing for our family. And so there are some of the things in my life that, You know, I recognize financial provision as two ways. One, either increased income, or two, decreased expenses. Sometimes there are things that we need him to rebuke the devourer. By the way, I am not only a teacher of tithing, I am a practitioner of the practice of tithing. There are some people who do not believe it to be a New Testament principle. I believe that the New Testament principle is that everything I have belongs to God, and if he wants to avail himself of it, it is his. I do not limit myself to 10%. That is not the ceiling. That is the floor. I just start there and say, okay, God, how much would you like me to provide to fund the proclamation of the gospel all around the globe? And so I thank God for that. As a church, we are not only a receiver of tithes and offerings, but 30% of our church budget goes to local, U.S., and global missions. We're not sitting there, not utilizing the funds. When they come in, we put them to use. So we're currently at 59 missionaries, and that number may go up here in the very near future. Two things here as we get to the end of the program here. It says, he leads me beside the still waters. Still waters were the waters through which they would drink of. And if you ever watch a documentary on Africa, when you go to the watering hole to water your animals, that is the most dangerous place for them to be, because there are so many predators there. You know, there are land predators that they've got to have water. They know you've got to have water. And so they position themselves there because that's their buffet table. And then there are also predators in the water. Well, when the shepherd comes, the shepherd leads us to where we are going to be able to quench our thirst, and he is going to make sure that it is done in a safe manner. He leads us. And I'm going to touch on this more in another aspect of this teaching, but he leads us to a quiet place. He leads us to a quiet place. I was talking with a friend on the phone here recently, and he was talking about a pastor that he had decades ago and has now retired. And he said he had a saying, and it related to the story where Jesus told the disciples to come apart with him and rest. And he said, when God invites you to come apart with him and rest, you need to do it, because if you don't, you will come apart. And I want to encourage you, because with all of the conveniences and everything that we have, we are still operating as a society at a very frenzied pace. We've got more conveniences now than ever, and yet we still operate in the spirit of busyness. And we need to honor that time where we come together as saints and refresh ourselves spiritually, where we come apart and hear the word of God. God says, come, and I want to refresh you by my spirit. So I want to encourage you, if you do not have a church home, to find a Bible preaching church home. I'm not talking where the Bible is one of the books that they preach out of. I'm talking about where they preach from the word of God. They preach the word of God, the whole counsel of God. And so he leads us beside the still waters. It goes on and it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And that's really what I want to focus on here. The main point of this broadcast today is, When we are praying, God, lead us not in the path or into temptation, what his leadership process is he leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us according to the standards of God's word. And so, as you look around in modern society and people talk about this leader and that leader, and you need to ask yourself this, are they leading in accordance with the word of God, or are they leading contrary to the word of God? Because if they are not leading in accordance with the word of God, they're not going to see the same results. as the Word of God promises. They're not going to be leading you to still waters. They're going to be leading you to tumultuous waters. They're not going to lead you to having your thirst quenched. They are going to be leading you into a parched, dry, and thirsty land. When they lead you contrary to the Word of God, they are leading for their name's sake. They are leading for their position of authority, their prestige, their fame. But when Jesus leads in the paths of righteousness, it says that he does so for his name's sake. For his name's sake. That Jesus will be glorified. You are a walking billboard for God. You know, there are certain clothing styles that when you wear them, that people can tell the brand of the clothing because of the logo that they see you sporting on your chest, or, you know, the little insignia that they have someplace. Well, I want you to know that righteousness is that symbol of distinction that God gives his people. That when people see righteousness, because it is of such high quality, because it is so rare, that they say, there's a child of God. There's a child of God. I pray that they would know you as the real deal, that they would know you as a person who is a follower of Jesus, not just a person who claims to be a Christian. When Jesus leads you, wherever he leads you, you're going to have your thirst quenched. You are going to be safe, so you do not have to live in fear. And the third thing is, he's going to make his name famous because you and I agree to walk in the manner or in the path that he chooses for us. You know, I'm several decades into my journey with Jesus. That path has taken me places that I never dreamed it would. I never had a fantasy of pastoring in Merritt Island, Florida. Never. And yet God has brought us here. I will tell you this, God's direction in my life has been well worth every sacrifice and every step. I have not given up anything. God has blessed above and beyond anything that I could have ever imagined or provided for myself. I encourage you, let him lead you. Let him lead you. There will be no lack. There will be peace, and he will lead you in righteousness for his name's sake. Father, I pray that today, that people who are listening to this broadcast, God, that you would provide them the direction and the wisdom that they need, Lord, so that your name, the name of Jesus Christ, would be known widely in Brevard County. Lord, glorify your name in this place. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be in